bless you in this place. For you are a holy God, and there is none like you. If there is a worship in this room that does not have to be pushed by a leader, I want you to open your mouth and declare unto God how good he is. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Speak to us, Father. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts, Father. Speak to our hearts. That's it. Come on, God. Speak to our hearts. Settle our spirits in your presence. Speak to our hearts. Oh God, speak to our hearts, oh God. Settle our spirits in your presence. We see the works of your hand. Speak to our hearts. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath into my lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Come on, sing it to him. Sing it to him, people of God.
So we pour out our praise, pour out.
Sing it to them. Come on.
In our lungs.
Let them sing it.
And we pour out our praise.
Yes, God.
Pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Come on, tell him.
In our lungs.
Let's go deeper today.
So we pour out our praise. pull on the anointing of God. Come on, let's go. It's your breath. Yes, God, it's yours. You provide and you leave. Pour out our praise. Make the devil mad and sound your alarm. Come on. It's your breath. Where is it at? In my lungs. He owns me, not the devil. Ben, hit it. Come on. Oh, it's your breath.
Hallelujah. There's the anointing. Go, 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 go. Hallelujah. Come on, don't stop now. Don't stop now. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. You're awesome, God. Hallelujah. See, what changes us is not another service. What changes us is the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's a tenacity that happens in your heart that says, I'm unwilling to go without getting touched by God. When you have that tenacity in your spirit, man, God will touch you right in your chair, whether you're sitting in the back or the front. He'll minister to you and you'll say, I know I've been in the house of God. I didn't go to a church service. I went to the house of God. You see, sometimes we get nervous. But when God's presence touches you, it changes everything. And you see, this is where you and I, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, shall be filled. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that a fresh hunger will come upon you in Christ's name. That God will have this insatiable hunger to be in your presence. And Father, as we come together in a group, Lord, as we come together in corporate worship, that Lord, your presence, your anointing will be so thick God, it will be that glory that will overwhelm us, that we may declare, even as it was in the book of Chronicles, that the priest could not even stand in the sanctuary because the presence of God was so thick. God, we want your presence thick in this place. We want your presence thick in this place. Lord, it's only your presence that will change us. God, religion can't change us. Church can't change us. Only you can change us, Jesus. We hunger, we hunger, we hunger, we hunger for Jesus this morning. Hallelujah! We bless you. Holy Spirit, you are the ruler of this church, Spirit of God. We ask that while we're in the house of the Father, the King's palace, at the table where the King dines, we ask that our spirit will be keen and be sensitive to hear from you. Lord, I thank you that you're healing the person, Lord, on the left side, just below the rib cage. God, I declare it healed in Jesus' name. As an individual here, strange sensation, but you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If you take your pointer finger on your left finger, it almost feels like electricity is coming in on the right side of the fingernail at the very, very tip. That's just for you to know that God even knows the small things about you. And what the doctors have said about your body, I rebuke it in the name of Christ. I declare health right now in your body in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you are the healing God, that in your presence there is fullness of joy. God, I ask in Jesus' name that we won't be bystanders, but we will be participators with your kingdom. Lord, in your presence, everything we need is able to be released. So, Lord, whatever they have, whatever they need this morning, in Jesus' name. Come on now, start talking to Jesus. Tell him what you need this morning. Come on, put your petitions before him. Right now, he's listening. He's listening to you. Come on, tell him what you need this morning. Tell him what you want him to do in your life this morning. Doesn't matter how big it is. God is bigger than any problem you could ever have. Have faith in God this morning. He's able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. He's a good God and greatly to be praised. Jesus, we just thank you so much. We honor you this morning, Father. We honor you this morning with our hearts, and we declare that you are truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is none beside you. There is none like you. You are the true Alpha, the one and only, and the Omega, the ending of all. We declare that you are awesome, O God, in this place. And we give you the glory that's due your name. And everybody in the room said, come on, I can't hear you. Everybody in the room said, give your God one more shout. Tell him you love him this morning. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks that you don't know. Don't go sit down. Don't sit down. Go meet somebody you don't know. Don't be a snob in this place. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to be in the presence of the Lord? You know, I just can't fathom going to a dead church where they don't have the presence of God there. And I know if you're a guest this morning, you're a little bit freaked out, but you'll be all right. Turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right. Today we want to welcome our guests because honestly, we know this one reality is it's bravery. Turn to someone and say, you are so brave. It's true. To go to a church that you've never been to before, especially if you're more from a liturgical style or no church at all, this church can be a little wild for you. We want you to know you're going to be all right. And honestly, my wife had this thing called white knuckle disease. That's why we named it. We used to have T-shirts for this. That is when you're watching what's going on, your hands start buckling around the chair in front of you, knuckles start to show, called white knuckles. We want you to know it's okay. You're going to be okay. We're just trying to get you ready for heaven. Heaven's not going to be a quiet place. It's going to be a place of rejoicing. How many of you glad Jesus washed your sins away? Well, it doesn't sound like many of you. I said, how many of you glad Jesus washed your sins away? Amen. So we want to welcome all of our guests this morning. And we're not going to make you stand or anything, but we do want to give you a gift. We do believe in letting you know we love you and we care for you. We want to give you a gift. If you're a very first time at His Tabernacle, if you'll raise your hand, we have somebody that's going to come right to you, bring you a gift this morning and let you know we care. There's a young lady over there. There's a young man right there. Very good over there. And you guys are new. Yes, they're in the front row right here. They're in the spit zone, man. Brother, you're brave. I love you. Right in the spit zone. Glory to God. Anybody else, first-time guests at His Tabernacle? Can we give them a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for being here. We always encourage you to come at least three times. Everybody say three. Three. Three times. The first time is like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Second time is, all right, it's not that bad. Third time is, man, I like this. All right, man, this place is alive. I can go there and get encouraged, and I don't have to walk out going, oh, my goodness, I feel more dead than I walked in. It's a great place to live. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we want to welcome. We also want to welcome our live stream family. There's so many on live stream every single week. Over 100 people every week all over the world are watching and participating. They're our online family. We welcome you. We want to say we love you and we're here for you. Can you give your online family a hand clap? You might never have met them, but when you get to heaven, they're going to go, hey, I was there with you. Amen. This is my beautiful wife, Rhonda. Let's welcome Pastor Rhonda Spencer.
Amen. Wow, what a great time in praise and worship this morning. As we enter into the time of tithes and offerings, there is a lot that we do in giving that is not money related. We give our lives to God. This morning we gave our praise to God, which is good. We should do that. But in Matthew 23:23, Jesus speaks to the people of the church of that day, and he was saying, you're doing these things, but I want you to also do these things. I want you to do the whole gospel. His actual words are, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And he specifically mentions tithing in that passage, and we don't want to leave the tithe undone. We give our praise willfully. We've given our lives to Jesus, but he's asked us to give our tithe. And the word tithe simply means 10%. So he asks us to give that and not to neglect the other portions, but the whole gospel. So I will never apologize for our time of praise that we give, or our time of worship, or our time of giving of finances and of receiving the word. As we were worshiping this morning, I really had just a revelation from God. Because you see, giving is more than just finances. This morning, we gave God our praise. And his word says, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So when we give our 10% and our finances, God says our 90% is then blessed. Well, how about when we give our praise, the 90% of our lives is pressed down, shaken together, and running over, blessed. How many of you need some pressed down, shaken together, running over in your relationships, in your family, in your soul, in your mind, in your heart? So when we think of giving, let's give expecting that God is going to then bless everything else in our lives. So when we give praise, it has all new meaning. I have more reason to give my praise because I know God is going to give back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, just like with our finances. If you're ready to give today, stand to your feet. We simply make a supernatural proclamation. This is the Bible. It's found in the Word of God. And we believe the Bible. Yes, Pastor. Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. So come on, when you give today, I want you not only to give your tithe, but I want you to come giving some praise and watch God do some press down, shaking together and running over.
Watching by live stream right now, we want to encourage you. You too can give. There's a donate button right there for you. So make sure you go and you sow into the kingdom of God. If you're eating, make sure that you're giving. Be blessed.
And we said every praise to our God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want to bless two people with Rock Solid Faith books. We'd encourage everybody in the room to make sure that you go to Rock Solid Faith. It is Tuesday night at 7 p.m. or Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. or Thursday night at 6 p.m. They are life-transforming classes. You need them. Turn to someone and say, you need them. So many Christians are ignorant. And what do we mean by that? They're sincere, but they don't know what the heck they're talking about. We all need to know what we're talking about. We need to know what we believe. Amen. So we have these classes three times a week so you can grow. You see, if you, every single person that goes to this class grows in the spirit. You can't not grow. Amen. Who here has been to Rock Solid Faith before our catechism? You know you're older if you've been to catechism. Amen. How many of you learned something? How many of you are lying? Okay, well, that's a good sign. Amen. So I want to bless, that is, Rock Solid Faith, Truth, or Rock Solid Faith, Volume 1. If you'd like it, come get it. Good, you were close. We got to reset. If you would like Rock Solid Faith 2 book, oh, there we go. She got it. She's older. You got to help the older people. My mother's fighting for my book. Glory to God. I would encourage you, make sure you're part of that class. If you've not joined that, if you've not joined that class, I don't know why. Do you know what a week and 2 days is? Rock the city. Isn't it exciting? Rock the city. We are so excited. We are going down into Elmira on Grove Street Park, and we are going to rock the city. We have had commercials showing on WETM, on WENY. There are posters that went up. I think almost 200 posters went up yesterday all over the region. And my wife and I will be on WENY early morning this Wednesday to propel Rock the City. What is that? That is, we are going into the community, not waiting for them to come to us, and preaching the gospel. We got Brother Terry Shuttlesworth on Tuesday night. Wednesday night, we got Brother Tim Shuttlesworth. Thursday night, Brother Teddy Shuttlesworth. And Friday night, Jonathan Shuttlesworth, who right now is in South Africa, I believe, preaching the gospel. And then on Saturday night, the culmination is Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, who's one of the greatest soul winners that I have ever seen. He just knows how to share the gospel. Well, everybody just look under your chair real quick. You have for yourself three invitations. This is where we want you to go and invite people to Rock the City. This means you might need to go to them and say, hey, listen, I'll give you a ride. I'll pick you up. You need to invite at least, we're going to give you three more next week. So three this week, three next week, so that if everybody in this house, we do that, that right there is probably going to be near 4,000 people that have been invited personally without television, without, in fact, every Sunday morning on ENY and ETM, the commercial is running just before our telecast on those stations. So many thousands of people are seeing and being invited. Bring the lost. Because people need Jesus. Amen. We're giving away a car. Isn't that exciting? We're giving away a car. We're giving away Xbox. We're giving away two flat screen televisions. We're giving away Kindle Fires. We're giving away Jordans. I don't know why. I mean, you know. We're giving away toys. We're giving away clothes. My goodness, we're giving away a ton of stuff. Just, they're nothing more than the hook. Amen. That's just to get people there. So that we can get them the gospel. I believe the car won't change anybody, but Jesus can. Amen? So we're going to get them there with the car or get them there with the TVs, get them there with an Xbox, but we'll get them saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, as you know, this is the last Sunday. If you're our guest, we very rarely take more than one offering, but we're going to take we've been doing this for the last 2 weeks. Last week, you gave $7,000 towards the Rock the City. Amen? The week before, you gave $4,000 to Rock the City. We had a one-time gift for $5,000, and we had another one-time gift for $15,000. And so this week, in fact, I just had a local businessman, doesn't even come to our church, said, Pastor, I want to sow into that too. And we had a church visiting last week who said, Pastor, our church is going to give $1,000 to Rock the City. So it's exciting seeing where there's vision, there will always be provision. And God is able to do abundantly above to pay for everything. I'm believing that we're not going to take one offering at these meetings. None. Not one offering. We're going to bless everybody that's there. So some of you have already prepared. And also today, we are celebrating Pastor Rhonda Spencer's birthday. 29 over and over again. Isn't she pretty for 29 years old? Amen. So we're going to sing happy birthday to her. Are you ready to sing? Are you ready? Yeah, I'm not singing it. Pastor Johnson, go ahead.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Rhonda. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. After service, we have cake out there for you. She's going to be out there near that. Many of you have already prepared cards for her. And so what we're going to do is at the same time when you bring up your finances for Rock the City, bring your card and place it in for Pastor Rhonda. She'll get all those after service. And make sure you go out and have cake with her and celebrate with her. It's going to be a great day. She's a great lady. She really is. She's very nice. Amen. How many of you love Pastor Rhonda Spencer? She can teach, too. She's a good teacher. So are you ready to give? Let's all stand one more time. Are you ready to give? Let's give to Rock the City. Sow your finances and bless Pastor Rhonda, Brother Johnson.
Come, my Savior. Come, my healer. Come, my deliverer. Yes, He is King. Yes, He is.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'm so excited about Rock the City. It is going to be just an amazing week. Next Sunday night and Monday night, we're having fasting and prayer. So I'd encourage you to come on out. Everything that God does is moved by prayer. Amen. And so we're going to fast and pray next Sunday night and Monday and believe God that on Tuesday, when we kick this beast off, we're going to kick the devil in the teeth. We're going to have, listen, we're proclaiming the same thing that was declared many years ago, 94 years ago. We're going to kick the devil out of Elmira. Amen. Amen. This is the year of Kingdom Seed. I love this year. It has been so powerful as we understand the principles of seed time. And today I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about seasons. And everybody, there are seasons in our lives. Amen. Many times, though, as a pastor, I watch individuals miss their seasons. It's very sad. As I watch people that God wants to bring a harvest in their life, but cannot because they have not sown. You see, when you do not sow, you will not have a harvest. Many people strive and really, they actually believe that God will give them a spiritual harvest no matter how they live. And I want you to recognize this. We cannot get away from the principles of seed time and harvest. We cannot get away from the biblical truth that makes this declaration. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. What is amazing, though, in the body of Christ, not just here, but all over the nation, is that there are many people that actually sit in church week after week that live a life of sowing bad seeds, but yet they get mad at God when they don't get a godly harvest. You see, that is delusional. And God wants to bring a representation in your mind of truth. And that is that the truth will make you free. What you do sow is what you will reap. And God is calling the body of Christ back to a place where we are not sowing accidentally, but we are being intentional people. Intentional people get the harvest that they're after. Accidental people seem to get whatever comes their way. I don't know about you, but I'm not praying and I'm not living just to get something. I'm praying and living so that I can have the harvest that God has prepared for me. God has the best and not the worst. God has increase and not decrease. God has blessing and not cursing. God has peace and not sadness. God has joy unspeakable and full of glory. But many believers never experience this because they live out of season. You know, when a man and a woman meet and they get married, then the season is for them to be intimate. Let's go back over that one more time. When a man and woman are married, then there's a season for them to be intimate. Let me say that one more time. When a man and woman get married, married, then there's a season for them to be intimate. Now, I'm not sure if you're getting this now. When a man meets a woman and they get married, then there is a season to be intimate. Before that is out of season. If you shoot a deer out of season, you are going to get a fine, possibly get arrested. There are seasons that when we learn to obey and live within them, we will always live in blessing. When a man meets a woman and they get married, then there is a season for them to be intimate. What is amazing is that husbands and wives want to procreate. So what they're doing is they're believing God for a baby. So there is a season in which a woman can become pregnant. A woman cannot become pregnant every day of the year or every day of the month. There are certain days, and it's very few, I believe it's between 2 and 3 days, out of every month, there's the opportunity of them becoming pregnant. It's a short season. You see, and when that season is capitalized upon, or when that season is taken advantage of, when the seed is planted during the season, then a woman has been impregnated. Life is now in the womb. And when the wife comes to the place of gestation, if out of season, they give a baby. Then there are difficulties with the child. If some babies are birthed way too young and don't make it. Some of them are birthed premature or preemies, and they're able to be, thank God for doctors today, amen, that are able to help and nurse them back to where they're able to grow and build their lung capacity and so on and so forth. But the fact is that there is a season for the birthing of a child. Just like there's a season to be intimate, there's a season to become pregnant, there's a gestation period, then there is a season for birthing. We must understand that everything that happens in our lives, this is eternal principle, is wrapped around seed time and harvest in the correct season. And when we learn to plant in the correct season, we'll get the harvest that God has for us, which is always abundant, exceedingly abundant, above all you could even ask or imagine. God doesn't want you just to barely make it by. God doesn't want you to have a relationship that stinks. God doesn't want you to have finances that are hardly there. God wants to bless you in every area of your life, and the most greatest relationship is with Him. Can I hear an amen? So learning that seed time and harvest is based on seasons will put you in a place of understanding that if you are not planting in the right season, you cannot be shocked when you don't have a harvest. So many do not get harvests in their life because they choose not to be wise planters. We want God's blessing, but we don't want seeds of blessing. We don't want seeds of obedience, but we want God to do what we want. This does not work. And so there has to be a revelation to the body of Christ to become intentional people, to where we're not just going out there and scattering seed, but we're individuals that are sitting back and saying, God, I know that you have great things for me. I know I'm a person of destiny and a person of purpose. I know that I'm an individual, God, that you have planned before the foundations of the earth. I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that you have me here at this exact time, at this exact place to do an exact work. And God, I don't want to just barely make it by. I don't want to have a life of regret. God, I want to be a person that will always live within the abundance of the harvest that you have prepared for me. Lord, before the foundations, I want to live within blessing and not cursing. Can I hear an amen? See, this is the plan of God. Seasons are part of our lives. The Bible says in our verse for the year, Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, you shall be like a tree. If you're a tree, how many of you are a tree? How many of you are born again, blood washed? Then you're a tree. Turn to someone and say, I'm a tree, which means you are a seed. There is never a tree without a seed. Every one of us in this room started as a seed. The seed has to be planted in correct proportion. Now we know, we gave the testimony last week. There was a woman who came. Her name again was Susan. She came to church and she gave my wife and I an ear of corn. And she said, Pastor, this is, and you don't know, but this is, remember you gave those corn seeds out very beginning of the year? She said, I took that corn seed, and I planted it in the best dirt, and I took care of that seed, and it grew into a stalk. And she said, what you're seeing is this one ear. She said, there were four of them. I gave two of them away, kept one myself, and brought the first fruits. She said, it's amazing, Pastor, how you and I know this principle works. I said, that's great. So we took it. And during the week, I husked it, and then I put it over to dry. Why? I'm going to take that ear of corn when it's dry, and I'm going to take those seeds, and I'm going to hand them back out to the body of Christ. You see, you can have one generation of harvest, or you can be a wise planter and have two. The Lord said to me, make sure you tell the church this. There are many that cannot be trusted with the first generation who will never participate with the second. You see, the Bible makes a declaration when we stand before God, He's going to be saying this prayerfully. Well done, thou good and, well done, thou good and, well done, thou good and faithful servant of God. You see, we are responsible to take care of the seeds in due season so that they will bring forth fruit that will prosper. You see, the word of God makes a declaration. It's not just the seed, but the seed must be planted by the waters. We know the water is the Holy Ghost. It's in time that you and I get back to the understanding. We must have the Holy Ghost. With all of our getting, we must have the Spirit of God. We must have the oil of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Spirit. We must must have the blessing of God's presence in our place, and that only comes as we obey him and live within him. You see, as you and I are seeds of the gospel, the closer we are to the water, the closer we are to the Holy Ghost, the greater tree we're going to have, and the more we're going to produce fruit. It said it will bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says this: to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22: while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. The one thing you find about this is that every seed has been programmed to bring forth fruit. You and I are called fruit producers. And, you know, I ask this. There are certain criteria before I preach a message. I ask the Lord this. I say, God, Jesus, how would you preach this message? And Jesus, will this message change a life practically? Will they be able to use it? And so I asked him, I said, Jesus, the message was all done. I said, Jesus, would you preach this message? And would you preach it this way? And he said, no. I said, okay. He said, you're much nicer than I am on this topic. You see, we have all been called fruit producers. The Bible said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. If I shall fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. John chapter 15. He said, I don't preach it that way. He said, I preach it according to Matthew chapter 25 that says that each one has been given a measure. Each person has been given a gift. Each person has been given certain seeds in their life. Each one has been entrusted with certain gifts. And if they don't use the gifts that I've given them, they don't end up in heaven. I said, whoa, that's rough. He said, I also preach it in John chapter 15. And the Father said, if there is a limb without any fruit, I cut it off and throw it in the fire. I said, well, do you mind if I preach it my way? It's nicer. So I'm going to preach it my way. I just preached it his way, but I'm going to preach it my way now. Every one of us are called to be fruit producers. I've never seen a piece of fruit or a tree eat its own fruit. You don't go to the apple orchard and have to fight the tree. Hey, I want that one. No, I birthed that one. The apple tree doesn't start fighting you for every piece of fruit. What happens is this: the fruit is not for you, the fruit is for others. And what's happened in the body of Christ, we've come to a place in our season of time of Christianity in North America where we are very self-absorbed. We are very self-driven. We know that because of how church has grown or has not grown. In the essence of, in every church, usually the average Christian goes to American churches one every 3 weeks. That realistically, most believers now don't even believe it's sin to have sex outside of marriage. Most believers today don't even believe that God is the only God. And we're talking people that live within Christian churches. They believe there are many ways to heaven. This is just one of them. There has been an onslaught against the truth of the Word of God. But what's happened is this, is that the believers do not believe any longer. Therefore, are not planting seeds of the Word in their life. Therefore, they're deceived. And when they're deceived, there will be a harvest. For whatever seed you plant, you will have a harvest in. And when we do not produce fruit, we've got to realign ourselves and say, God, I don't want to deceive myself. Can you imagine deceiving yourself, waking up and having the bad harvest? We don't want to deceive ourselves and say, I can live any way I want, do whatever I want, live any type of lifestyle I desire, and expect to go to heaven or expect to have God's blessing in my life. It doesn't work. So the church has to have a revelation from heaven. And if not, then we're going to continue to be people that will not affect our region. You see, God has called you. God has placed you amongst a circle of friends that he has called you to reach. God has called you to touch. Even if you can't speak the gospel, you will live the gospel. For you will be the only Jesus that many people will ever see. And God is saying, I want to produce fruit in your life. For you are a tree that's planted by the waters that will bring forth its fruit in its season. That its leaves will not wither. And whatever you do shall prosper. God wants to bring you to a place of understanding seed time and harvest truly is, in correct season, what will produce the greatest results. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 4 says this: "Then I will give you rain in its season, and the land shall yield its fruit, and the trees, the field, shall yield their fruit." Numbers 13, verse 20: "Whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests or there are not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes." Proverbs 15, verse 23: "A boy has joy by the mouth of his words." Excuse me, "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And the word spoken in due season, how good it is." Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 14: "Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain. They may gather, excuse me, in your grain, your new wine and your oil." Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10: "Don't let us grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, and do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith." There is a season in every one of our lives, and sadly, as a pastor, I watch many people miss their seasons. Many people, while they're moving forward, they end up stepping back. And they miss the season that God has for them that will bring them the prosperity that they're actually looking for, that will bring them the harvest that they're actually after. You see, every one of us want two things: love and acceptance. Every one of us desire to be blessed and not cursed. Every one of us want to be healthy and not sick. Every one of us want to live with peace and not depression. Every one of us want to live with joy and not sadness. We're all after the same things. And God is saying this: "My word is yea and amen. If you plant my word, you live my principles, you live the seed of heaven, then you will harvest the seed of heaven no matter what comes your way." There must be a revelation in our spirit that we must truly understand seasons, and in the correct season we plant, and in the planting that we know soon enough we'll have a harvest. Are you out there this morning? I get sad because I watch so many miss their seasons. You want to grab people and shake them, but you can't. Go to jail for that. But the truth is that I've watched so many individuals miss the greatest opportunities of their spiritual life. I had a man come to me one time, and he was very angry at his wife. And I said, "You know, what's your problem, dude?" He says, "I want a divorce." I said, "Why? What's going on?" He goes, "You know, 10 years ago, I had an opportunity to invest in this company, and my wife wouldn't let me invest, so therefore, I hate her, I lost everything, and I want nothing to do with her." Let me tell you something, that's pretty harsh. But there is one truth there, that many times there are windows, many times there are seasons, that if you're not wise enough to plant within, you'll not get a harvest. There are times that you have got to seize the moment. There are times you have got to be a seeder that isn't sitting by and just watching, but you're one that is active and saying, "God, I know what I want. I know what I'm believing for." Remember, you never plant just a seed. You have to first know what harvest you want. You always plant for the harvest. You don't just plant a seed. I've never seen a farmer go out into a field and say, "Well, I'm not sure what I'm going to get." They know how many acres they're going to plant. And then they buy the correct seed so that they make sure that what they're planting, see, they're not just planting seed, they're already in the foresight planting for a harvest. They know what they're after. Every one of us are after certain things in our lives. What is it that you're after? What is it that you're believing God for? And the question has to be this: what type of seeds are you planting to acquire that harvest? And are you planting in the correct season, or are you always fighting God or ignoring God, or are you led by the Spirit? See, this is the change that happens in the body of Christ when we go from just being church folk to being sons and daughters. We go from being led by our flesh to being led by the Spirit. It's a change in our life. And and understanding that we cannot and will not ever escape the reality of seed time and harvest, that whatever we sow, we shall reap. So let's be wise in our planting so we get the harvest that we're desiring. You see, there's process. Everybody say process. This process when you plant. I haven't planted a lot. I planted a food plot once in the woods. And so I decided that I was going to, I had some hunting property, and I was going to plant a food plot in the middle of the woods to draw the deer in. You know, you can't put corn out or anything like that. It's illegal. So I decided you could do a food plot. So I went out and I bought the seed. It was seed specially for the woods. So I went out and bought the seed, and I got a hoe. Walked out into the woods, and I started using the hoe to try to dig up the land. You see, there's a reality when it comes to planting that must be accomplished first. There are certain principles that have to happen first to get the results that you're after. You see, God wants to bless you 30, 60, 100-fold, but he can't bless you that way unless you prepare the ground. You see, we must be people that will prepare and plow. Jeremiah said it best. He made the declaration and he said this: "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns." Some of you are looking for a spiritual harvest, but you've never broken up the ground. You still have a hard heart. What does that mean? You do whatever you want, whenever you want. God better do it your way. You got sin in your life that you know is there that you don't care. I've had people literally look me in the eyeballs and say, "Pastor, you know, I know this is sin, but honestly, I'm not going to change it." That's called hardness of heart. The Bible says before you can get any kind of harvest in your life, you've got to break up the fallow ground. You've got to get in there and address. You know what I found as I was digging that food plot? I found real quickly that there are a lot of rocks in the woods and that this hole was not going to work. So I went out and I got a pitchfork. I went out and got a pickaxe. I went out and got a shovel, the rounded shovel. And I went out and got all this material. And I actually had to bring my chainsaw. Why? Because some of the roots that were going through that food plot that I wanted to put were so thick I couldn't cut them down myself with my hands. I had to get a chainsaw and cut them to clear the ground, to be able to plant seed, to get the harvest that I was after so that I could get the results that I wanted. Some of us have never broken up our fallow ground. We got roots of sin in our life that have come from generations that we have never dealt with, but we don't want to deal with because we like the sin. Listen, if somebody says sin is not fun, that's a lie. Sin is fun. But the wages of sin is death. And sin is fun, but for a season, there's always a price. I want to remind you that when you sow in the flesh, the enemy is a horrible taskmaster when it comes time for him to reap his harvest in your life. What are those things in your heart that are hardened? What are those things that you have in your life that you don't want to get rid of, that you know are sin, but you've chosen to keep a hardened heart, but yet you want the best harvest in your life? We've got to come to a revelation. God, I know that I can't have 100%. I know I probably will never reach 60% if I don't start taking care of the fallow ground, that hard ground that's in my life. What are these things in my heart that I need to have you take out? No one likes to talk about that part. Let's be honest. We all just want to live our life, God, do what I tell you to do. But the fact is, you can't get to the next process of planting without having good ground. You know, I'll be honest with you. I worked for a little bit on that ground, and then I decided I don't want to work on this ground anymore. But I took the bag of seed. Now, there was a spot, that a very small spot, that I dug out and cleaned up and had all ready. And I sprinkled the seed on that section. And then the rest, you know, I just kind of took back the leaves and kind of scattered the seed there. Can I tell you the results? I had a small patch that actually grew and flourished. And the rest of it, I don't know whether the birds ate it. You see, Matthew chapter 13 is so powerful because there's four types of ground. The Bible said the word is seed, and the word of God that goes on hard ground or fallow ground or the hardness of heart, the devil comes and steals that seed. The second type of ground is that which is found that is, it's stony, it's called scripturally, and the seed takes a little root, but when the sun comes, it dries it all out, and there's no way for it to survive. The third type of ground is the seed gets into good ground, and it starts to grow, but then the thorns and the thistles, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches start overtaking that plant and then choke it out. And then the last type of ground is the good ground. That in that part of ground, the Bible says 30, 60, 100-fold. God will take that one seed that is already programmed for success, that you have broken up the fallow ground, that you have taken care of and planted properly, that you have irrigated. You see, there's a necessity to irrigate, to take care of, to protect the seed. If you don't protect your seed, the seed will get stolen. The seed will die. Now, listen, I love my wife, but my wife is a plant killer. I love her, but there's only one plant that's ever lived a long time in our house, and it's a plant that was given to us the day the church opened 18 years ago. And it would live whether she was there or not. But she's been given plants over the years. Listen, don't give my wife plants. Jody gave her some, what were they? They were herbs. The cup of herbs are still there. They're dead. Well, why? Well, because she doesn't irrigate them. It's when it comes to memory or when there's a thought, she'll go and she'll irrigate it. Remember, we had a fig tree one time. And the fig tree died. And I went to a, what do they call that guy? Herbiculturalist. Is that right? Horticulturalist. I went to a horticulturist and said, what happened to this fig tree? And he goes, well, I don't know. He said, did you water it? I said, oh, yeah, it was always full of water. He said, you drowned it. You've got to protect the seed. You've got to make sure that the seed that you believe in God that will bring forth a harvest is not going to be destroyed by the enemy. It's not going to have tares sown in with the wheat. You've got to look at what you're believing God for and say, listen, this is the season and this is the time. I've got to capitalize on this at the very moment. I've got to sow into this. I've got to believe God for this. I've got to extreme in the things of God. Here we go. The next one is growth. You see, there's always going to be growth because when you break up fallow ground, when you water it, plant it and water it, the seed does what it does. It automatically grows. Some of you work too hard in the factor of trying to make it grow. You can sing to it. It might grow a little bit more. But other than that, you just got to protect the seed to make sure it does what it's allowed to do. And then you get to the place of harvest. But if you plant in the middle of winter, you're not going to get a harvest. I have a friend of mine who's planting a food plot. And he's planting turnips. And so he had to plant not next month. He had to plant 2 months ago. Actually, a month and a half. If he wanted the harvest to be there during season, he had to plant a month and a half ago. We've got to be wise people with seasons. You see, the spring is always time that you plant. Everything is ready, and in the newness of the season, it's time to plant for the things that we're believing for. We go out there and we make sure that, you know what? We'll take Rock the City. We know that the gospel is going to be preached. We know that the word of God is going to be declared. We know that sinners are going to walk in the door or walk on the grass. We know that children are going to come and hear the gospel. We know that we're going in there not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So we seed in due season. You can seed after Rock the City, but it won't bring a harvest for you. You must sow before Rock the City because that is the season and that is the time. Many miss their seasons. When you miss your season, you can't be shocked when you have no harvest. Summer is a great time, but that is the time that it's actually maturing. That's the time you got to protect. Farmers, what they do many times when they have large crops, they go in and they spray insecticides. Why? Because all the bugs will get in there and try to kill the plant so there can be no fruit. You see, when you planted in the spring, when you believe God in the right season, and you planted whatever seed it is that you're believing God to bring forth in harvest, you've got to make sure that during the summer, the bugs don't get in your life, that you do not get distracted, you do not have sin enter your life, you do not compromise, but you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You stay steady. You don't become movable. You stand firm in the gospel of Christ. You don't change your confession. You guard the seed. And then fall comes. I love fall because fall is when we harvest. Everybody wants to harvest the day after they seed, but let's be real, that doesn't happen. God does it every once in a while just to keep you coming. But the truth is that if you want to harvest every day, you need to sow every day. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth told my wife and I, he sows a seed every single day because he needs a harvest every single day. How you sow, you shall reap. Man, reaping is amazing because just like in the spring, when you start planting means work. And when you start harvesting means work. You know, many Christians don't want to work. I just want to go to church. Man, you preach a little bit too strong for me, preacher boy. Well, you know, I don't like that message. Sorry, talk to Jesus. But the fact is that if you're going to be a person that's going to be a fruit producer, you're going to be a person that's going to have a harvest, you cannot leave your harvest in the field, which means you've got to be a worker. It means you've got to be somebody that's going to be getting out there when it's time for springtime to seed. Get out there when it's time to harvest. Get your hands dirty. Say, God, who do you want me to reach? Lord, how do you want me to touch? God, what do you want me to do? You see, I love Oral Roberts. He made this declaration. He said the greatest sin that the body of Christ has in these last days is they are leaving the harvest in the field. They have seeded, and never take the harvest. And then some of us are in winter. It's a season. It's cold. How many of you are recognizing it's getting darker? Yeah. Aren't you glad you don't live in Alaska? Watch. Some of you are in a cold season. Some of you are in a time where it seems like, where are you, God? God, I don't understand what's happened in my life. Lord, I don't understand. I'm going through dark spirits. I'm going through dark times in my heart. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. And some of you abandon before you ever get ready for spring again. You see, every single person in this room, the only way you grow is when you go through difficult times. You grow when you go through trials and tribulations, James chapter 1. You grow when it gets difficult, when you got to have the light of the gospel of Christ, for when it gets dark all the way around you, you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light. The word is the light that lamps under my path. It's time to recognize that the word of God in the darkest times is when your faith is actually proven. Without a winter, you'll never be ready for spring. But we all fight the winter. Now, I do want to precursor this. God will never, ever, ever use what he paid for on Calvary in your winter. God will never, ever, ever tempt you with sin. Somebody came up to me once in time and said, well, you know, Pastor, the Lord brought this person in my life. And I said, no, you're married. God would never bring that person into your life if you're married. Here's one. You ready? Oh, Pastor, the Lord blessed me. I said, how did he bless you? Well, I was in the Walmart parking lot, and I watched somebody drop a $100 bill, so I hid behind a car waiting to see if they noticed. And when they drove off, I went and grabbed the $100 bill and thanked God for it. No, really, somebody said that to me. I'm not making up stories. God will never use finances against you. Why? Because he became poor that we might become rich. Poverty is not a process of God. Remember, it was only birth after the fall of man. God will never use sickness in your life to teach you some spiritual lesson as some preachers are teaching from behind the pulpit. The Bible says by his stripes you were healed, so why would he turn around and use sickness against you? So God will never come against you in any way. Anytime you're in a dark season and you find those three things coming in your life, you've got to take a spiritual aggressive posture and bind the devil who's trying to destroy your life, because you need to recognize that winter is in your life and it's cold and sometimes it's dark. Sometimes you wonder, but know this, that the ground is being readied for spring, that it's going to be time to, that it's going to be time to seed again, and that will bring forth a mighty harvest in your life. See, you're important and you're necessary. God's got a plan for you. And this plan is so powerful. But you've got to recognize your seasons. If you don't recognize seasons, then you're not planting properly. If you don't recognize process, then you're going to be throwing your seed on cold, dead ground, wondering why, where is God? You've got to be an intentional planter. Which means you're an intentional harvester, because you're planting your harvest first, then planting your seed. Do you realize that if you actually get that right there, everything in your life changes? You want a raise? Seed to the raise. I'm not talking money. Be so good of a worker that they can't get rid of you. It will take three people to replace you. If you seed your life into your workplace, you will get a raise. Every vision costs. And there's a need to say, God, I want to seed my life into whatever I'm believing for. You want a better relationship with your wife? Seed your time into your wife. You want a better relationship with Jesus? Spend more time with Jesus. You need more money? Sow your finances and be a wise steward, and God will bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. He could even bring it in the mouth of a fish. You want to be a fruit producer in the kingdom of God? You got to do something in the kingdom of God besides warm your hiney in the chair. Every one of us need to recognize our season. And I don't know where you are in your season. I don't know what fruit you want to produce. But I know what I want to produce. You see, I know this. God loves soul winning more than anything else. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save them which are lost. Not I came to sit and to save. The fruit that's in our life should draw people to Christ. Can I hear an amen? Instead of being so self-absorbed and self-lived, overwhelmed with our desires, how are we sowing our lives for one that don't know Christ? For when we are not sowing our lives to sinners, then we're eating our own fruit. Trees don't eat their own fruit. I had a pastor come to me just recently. I'll end with this. Had a pastor come to me recently and he said, well, you know, we don't see anybody saved in our church. I said, then you're not a church. He said, well, you can't say that. I said, I sure can. A true church, the true body of Christ, will increase. Which means souls got to be saved. There's got to be new babies born. The evidence of heaven has to be seen within the house. What's the evidence of heaven? The evidence of heaven is people being born again, people being healed, people being delivered, people being matured, people being set free in Jesus' name. Truly, the gospel being preached. He said, well, I spend a lot of time in prayer. I said, I don't know who you spend time with. And he said, that's kind of insulting. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, because I learned this. When you spend time with Jesus, just like Jesus spent time with the Father, you get the Father's heart, which means you're going to get Jesus' heart, which means you're going to be a soul winner. Can I hear an amen? See, we come to the reality of who we are truly in Christ as fruit producers, which means we've got to be wise seeders, which means we got to know what we're looking for in harvest, which means we've got to be intentional. We can't be accidental. We can't be just making it by waiting for Jesus to crack the eastern sky. We've got to be people that are going to get out there and seed our lives, seed our finances, seed our wisdom, seed our time, seed our mind and our thoughts to where we're going to get the results that God has for us. I refuse to settle. I refuse just to sit back and be a nice little Christianette that sits on the back row and does my little half-mass rave. I want God to fill my spirit. I want to have God change people's lives through my life, but that only comes as we are wise cedars in due season. So if you had to ask yourself a question, I mean an honest question. I mean really honest. Remember, the greatest deceiver has never been Satan. The greatest deceiver is us. If you had to say you look back on your last week, how much eternal seed have you planted? If you had to look at your life and say, I made eternal change last week, what would it be? Or did you just live for yourself? Did you just eat your own fruit? You see, that is the question we've all got to ask ourselves. We can really play Christianity. I know how to do it. Get rid of the Holy Ghost. Only preach 20-minute sermons that will make everybody feel good. Oh, I love you. Love. Love. Love, love, love. I know how to do it. I know how to grow a big church. But I don't dare to stand before my Father and say, I decided to change the blueprint because I wanted a lot of people. I want God's will to be done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do I bring heaven to earth? I'm a true planter in correct season. When I want to bring heaven to earth, I plant prayer. When I plant prayer, I plant it with faith. When I plant it with faith, I know that God will answer all things that are according to his will. For he made the declaration in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. He made the say that if he pray according to his will, he hears us and the answer is already on the way. I know that if I do the word of God always works. I know that God is able and God is willing and God is desiring to make me prosper in every area of my life. But I've got to be a wise planter and a wise season identifier. Some of you are throwing your season away. I had an individual one time. I've got 15 seconds. There's a clock in the back. How many of you didn't know that? I heard he went over the first clock, so we're on the second clock. Had a man say to me one time, he said, I hate this area. Can't wait to get out of this Elmira area. And I looked at him and said, you're throwing your season out. He said, what do you mean? I said, if God needed you in Florida, you'd already be in Florida, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And then I've watched people abandon their call. I had one person come to this church, and they were here to learn one lesson, how to love people. That's all they were here for. They was actually a staff member. They were gifted in what they did, but the Lord showed me, and he said, the only reason I have them there is for you to teach them how to truly love my people. Because they were mean. They'd look you right in the eye and say, I don't even like people. Well, if you don't like people, I don't know why you're in the ministry. And so for over 2 years, that's what I seeded. That's what I seeded. That's what I seeded. And then the staff member looked at me and said, well, I know more than you. It's time for me to move on. And they left here without ever learning how to love people. And I looked them in the eye and I said, you're leaving before you're supposed to because you've never learned what you're supposed to learn in this season, which then will prepare you for the next. Every season prepares you for the next season. And if you're not prepared for the next season, then you'll never get your next level of harvest. They left this church. They went to another church. They lasted a very short period of time, and then they popped to another church and lasted another short period of time. Why? Because they did not love people. No matter how gifted you are, if you don't love people, you're missing it. And today they're not in the ministry at all. Because why? They missed their season. Your seasons affect the rest of your planting life. Identify your seasons. Dig up your fallow ground. plant your seed with understanding, intentional. Irrigate it, protect it, harvest it, and never eat all your seed or you'll have nothing for the next season. If I could preach one last sermon, it might be this one. Because this is one that if you actually use, everything changes in every area of your life. Bow your heads with me this morning. Right now, you have a season in front of you. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's a season of harvest right now prepared for your life. You're not here by accident. God's brought you to this place to hear this word. So the question is, what are you going to do with your season? At this moment, you have opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior, to be changed from the inside out, to have God transform you, to set you in a position, in a place where you will prosper the rest of your life. Or as this season is in front of you, you have the opportunity to say no, to keep the ground hard. And I know God will call you prayerfully at another time. But how much time did you waste? I talked to one man, he didn't get saved till his 60s, and he said to me this. He said, I can't believe how many decades I've wasted. How many souls could have been changed if I had responded to God when he called. This is your season. Today, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart right now. He's saying, I want to come in. I want to change you from the inside. I want to make you a mighty harvester. I want to make you a child of God, a son and a daughter, part of the household of faith. I want to wash your sins away. I want to make you brand new. Today, oh, that's right. And you can't clean yourself up before you come. You come as you are. Then he'll clean you up. Today, if you don't know Christ, this is your season. I want to give you opportunity to be harvest right now. I want to give you opportunity to know him, to walk with him, talk with him, a relationship with him. Today, if you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone here that needs Jesus as their Savior? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. Five, get your hand up. Four, three, two, last call, and one. Saints, I want to remind you, that means you didn't bring anybody lost. And if you did, you need to talk with them afterwards. Don't let them miss their season. Today, if you're a believer in the house, I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If I'll have them come right now. And I want to release a blessing over you. I want to declare the harvest in your life. As we're getting ready to go and minister to this community with the power of God at Rock the City, I want to challenge you to be a planter. I want to challenge you to be one that will participate as a fruit producer, which means find out what you can do and put your hand to it, man. It's sowing for souls. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Father, I thank you that you are a good God, that you are a mighty God. I thank you that your word is true, yea and amen. I thank you that your word, oh Father, declares and is seed. So right now, as the word has been preached, Lord, I thank you that it is getting into the hearts of the men and the women of this room. I thank you that those who are watching by live stream, that supernaturally the word of God is transitioning their life. I declare, God, by your word, that not one of us will remain in hard ground. That, Father, we will allow you to meddle, we will allow you to convict us. We ask that you just show us those things that are holding back the best harvest of our life. Lord, I thank you that right now that no sickness has a right in our homes. We declare in the name of Jesus, every disease, you have to get out of the children of God. You are not part of the crop of heaven. We declare that you have no right in our bodies. Every sickness and disease, come out in Jesus' name. God, those that are struggling in their minds, I declare the word of God that you have a sound mind. Lord, I speak right now over those, Lord God, that are struggling in their walk with you in the winter time. That, Father, you will keep them warm. That, Lord, you will constantly draw them and teach them. Draw them to the next level of walk with you. That when spring comes, they'll be the mighty, mighty cedars for the kingdom of God. Lord, and I declare souls to be saved over this Rock the City in Jesus' name. Lord, lead every one of us to at least six people that we will bring, that the gospel will be preached to them. For one waters, One sows, one waters, but God, you will bring the increase. Lord, we declare it over our lives. Bless each one. Lord, let us have a day that's just blessing with you. And tomorrow as we celebrate, Lord, with our families, give us opportunity to share you with somebody in our family. In Jesus' name, and everybody in agreement shouted, amen. If you need prayer for anything, the prayer team is around the front of the altar. If you're a guest with us this morning, we'd like to personally meet you. If you go right out this door and go to the left-hand side, there's a guest reception room. We'd love to shake your hand, welcome you, and thank you for being in the house of God.